Welcome to this edition of the WHFR Journal. It is Friday, April the 5th. Already the first week of April has just about passed us by. But wait, there's more. Lots of things to talk about going on both this weekend and into next week. I'm very excited to share that a little later in our discussion today. We're going to talk with a good friend of WHFR and a member of Henry Ford College's faculty who is going to be talking about, well, yes, the upcoming eclipse. That's coming up on Monday. If you haven't heard everything you've wanted to hear, well, I'll bet we're going to cover it too. So Jesse Mason, our astronomer in residence, will be talking about that. He's also going to be talking about a really big deal. It is the STEM Day at Henry Ford College. So that's coming up in a little bit. But when I say, wait, there's more, there is always activity going on as it relates to the arts here in our community. And if you did not know that that's a thing, well, we've got our ambassador, our arts liaison, to share some insight on an event coming up tomorrow that you're not going to want to miss. That is our one and only dear friend, Emma Jean Woodyard, who is today wearing the hat of the director of the Dearborn Community Fund. Emma Jean, it's so nice to see you as always. Welcome back to the Journal.
Well, it's always a pleasure. Thank you for making room for us.
We are excited about this event. It is very endearingly called the Arty Party, And this, talk about arts. Oh my goodness. It is billed as the biggest art festival in town. And I absolutely agree. And there's going to be everything from music to workshops to a market to exhibits to crafts, culinary arts, performances, and so on. So help us sort of unpack this, if you will. First of all, who should we be targeting here to invite to this free event taking place tomorrow, 4 to 8 p.m. in Dearborn?
Just about everybody and anybody. There's something for all ages, quite honestly, and it's family-friendly, community-friendly, and it runs only for 4 hours. So there's a sweet spot here in the day from 4 to 8 p.m. that people can come to the center and experience everything that you just outlined. I think they're going to be surprised at the amount of activity, the amount of art, the amount of performance. It's going to be a grand day.
Is it seems like timing-wise, it is kind of the kickoff to Dearborn's April Arts Month, which involves so many different activities throughout this entire month of April. But boy, it seems like, you know, you save the best for last, but this is like starting off right out of the gate, Emma Jean, with the really, really good stuff. So
we have other good things happening in the middle of the month and the end of the month, and I'll touch on those. But the Arty Party is really the official kickoff to get people excited, to share more information about what's coming up during the month of April. And I have to say, April Arts Month has evolved over the years, and it's different every year. Never know what components there are going to be. But the Arty Party was the brainstorm of our wonderful coordinator here. She works with me so closely, Sasha Corder, and she has such a wide network of artist friends and so on. She said, why don't we take advantage of it and put this together as kind of the kickoff to get party in, or people in the mood. So as I said, Arty Party is suitable for all ages, and you'll be able to come and talk to the artists, be up close and personal. There'll be different kinds of exhibits. And of course, one of the exhibits that we have, which just opened yesterday, is the Dearborn Schools exhibit for K-12. And I have to tell you, I've worked with this exhibit over the years, numerous years. This is probably the best one ever. And the talent is just absolutely incredible. I think that the art faculty has outdone themselves this year in working with the students. I think that they finally come back from all the COVID shutdowns and malaise that happened after COVID, but it is a brilliant show this year. So if you don't do anything else, if you don't make it to Arty Party, the exhibit itself will stay up through the first week of May, so there's time to come over to the Pajeski Gallery for that.
Sounds like a great opportunity. All of the events are basically going to be housed at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center on Michigan Avenue here in Dearborn, correct?
Well, certainly the Arty Party is, the Pajeski Gallery exhibits is, But I can move on very quickly to the next big thing that will happen in April as part of April Arts Month. Dearborn was selected by the Detroit Institute of Arts to host its Inside Out project. This is a project that the DIA does in select communities in Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties, where they bring art reproductions of famous artwork into your community and really affix it to buildings and or that's posted. It's up close and personal for the community to visit to learn more about the collection at the DIA. So Dearborn was selected, and we will kick off our Inside Out art program on Saturday, the 20th of April. There'll be two opportunities, one in the east side and one in the west side, for families and guests to come and celebrate the arrival of the artwork in the community. On the west side, on that day from 11 to 1, we will have a mural artist working over in the West Dearborn area near the Commandant's Quarters on Michigan Avenue. And there will be several mural artists working there. There will be a free presentation about the artwork that's on display throughout Dearborn. That will happen during that 11 to 1 time period as well. Lots of information about what's going on in West Dearborn. That's 11 to 1. From 2 to 4, we will have things happening in East Dearborn, and that will be centered around the old City Hall, which is now known as Art Space. And that will be centered there. There will be open studios for people to visit. There will be mural artists working. The Arab American National Museum will be open free of charge to the community that day. So if you've never been there, it's a great opportunity. So you can go from west side to east side on the 20th and celebrate the DIA Inside Out art, and also have some fun watching the mural artists, visiting artist studios. Just a lot of things going on that day.
Yeah, it almost feels like if you aren't thinking about the arts and you are a resident of Dearborn, or you work or drive through Dearborn or know Dearborn on the map, there's something for you, right? And you should
Absolutely.
utilize these opportunities, because you don't get this in every community, that's for sure. And you don't certainly get the quality like we do at these series of events for April Arts Month like you do here in Dearborn. So that's pretty
Absolutely.
incredible.
And there is a calendar of events that's available. Hard copies are available at the libraries here at the Ford Community Performing Arts Center that list the other activities that are going on. And basically, when April Arts Month was started, and it's probably been about 7 years ago now, we did the first one. It was really an attempt to say, look at what we do here. Look at what's here for for your pleasure, for your participation, for your involvement, whatever you want it to be. And it changes from year to year as to what is on that calendar. Certainly, we have galleries in town. You've got a beautiful gallery over there at Henry Ford College. We've got the Stamoulos Gallery at University of Michigan Dearborn. We've got the Pajeski. We've got the Rotunda Gallery at Centennial Library. People don't realize that we have, well, actually more than four. We have five, I think, viable galleries here in town. And their exhibitions are all listed in the calendar of events so that you can go at your leisure to visit them. It's just we take for granted what we have. So this is an attempt to say, pay attention, join in, and have fun.
As often we need that sort of course correction, so well put. In really sort of immersing oneself in the arts, we think there's never really a bad time to connect with that side of our brain and that side of our heart and our soul. But I'll tell you, if there was ever a really, really good time, at least for me, this is the time. There's so much happening in the world that we either can't control or are afraid of, or are very much, you know, opinionated on, that can tend to be that dark cloud that sort of follows us around, particularly this time of season. So, boy, what an opportunity to escape and to dig into the things that please us and help ourselves not only feel better, but, you know, studies have shown actually their healing qualities, right, in tapping into this. So, so I suppose it's not a, you know, not a surprise that we try to often look for ways for escapism or to just change our mindset. I suppose you're probably seeing a little bit of that too, huh?
Oh yeah, definitely. And it's interesting because after the pandemic, it was very hard to get people engaged again, especially those people who, a lot of people who volunteered, they just went away and didn't come back. And so events like this help to bring them back out. They, you know, they see the opportunity, they become engaged with other people. They feel part of the creative process. And so we're slowly trying to return to normal. Let me put it that way. So that's the middle of the month. We have one more signature event, and that happens on Tuesday, April 30th at 7 p.m. And that's the annual Mayor's Arts Awards program, where individuals, organizations, businesses, et cetera, are recognized for their contributions, their involvement in the arts community. The panel selected the nominees for this year. There actually will be 7 awards handed out this year. Sometimes there are 5, sometimes 6. Not every year are there 7, but this year there will be 7 awards given out. And again, this is Tuesday, April 30th at 7 p.m. in the beautiful Arab American National Museum in their theater. And if you haven't been to their theater, it's just a sweet little gem that not a lot of people know about. So the planning committee this year said, you know, we have several theaters around Dearborn. We should move this event around and give people a chance to learn about the spaces, but also give the spaces a chance to shine as well. So don't be surprised if we come over to Henry Ford College one of these days soon, because you do have the Adbury Theater over there. So not this year. This year we're at the Arab American National Museum. I can very quickly tell you who the honorees are if you'd like to hear.
Oh, please.
And again, the mayor selects the mayor's award. The other awards are selected through committee process. And the Artist Performer Award is going this year to a painter, Kathleen O'Connell. Kathleen has a studio that she shares with several other wonderful artists here in Dearborn, and she's just a fantastic, fantastic visual artist. Now, that award can go to a performing artist or a visual artist. This year, the committee selected the visual artist in Kathleen. The Arts Educator Award, that's always a toughie because there are so many wonderful educators, but this year it's going to Jennifer Pagowski. Jennifer is a choral and vocal music teacher. She has been at Dearborn High for quite a number of years, but she has reached out far beyond just what she does at the Dearborn High classroom as a teacher, and a very worthy recipient for this year. The Patron Award this year is going to a local business person, has a small business. It's actually the Dairy Queen on Greenfield near Michigan Avenue. His name is Ollie Hades. And he is just the most generous person with his business and supporting all kinds of events here in the Dearborn community. We felt he should be recognized. The Volunteer Award this year goes to Sherry Montreal. Sherry has been a volunteer at the Henry Ford Museum and Greenfield Village since 1978. That's a lot of hours. As a matter of fact, I think she was just honored for 15,000 hours of volunteer time.
Wow.
And she's just a priceless person to them. And we are so thrilled to be able to recognize her for her, what I would call above and beyond duty. The Organization Award this year is going to an organization called TEAD. That's T as in Tom, EAD. It's the TEED 1 Memorial Artist in Residency Program. This is a wonderful program that encourages new artists entering the arena, so to speak. They're housed over in Art Space in East Dearborn. They operate out of there, and they are just doing some wonderful work on the community level to bring more people into the fold. And last but not least, well, I shouldn't say that because we have the actual Mayor's Award, which we will announce in a moment. We have a special recognition award this year, which will go to Mr. Michael Mosley, who is a fantastic actor. First of all, he's a fantastic actor, but he has been involved with Players Guild of Dearborn for many years, serving on the board, serving as president, brought it through the COVID period, kept it alive, just absolutely recognized for all that he does to bring the theater arts to the public. And last but not least, for sure, this time, the Mayor's Award. And this is the one that our Mayor, Abdallah Hamoud, selected this year, a gentleman by the name of Naji Mandalik. Naji has a theatrical theater company that he puts on performances basically in Arabic, has a huge following, extremely popular. Many times they're sold out before he can even get the name out on the public. And he's here in Dearborn, and his company resides here in Dearborn, but he travels with it internationally. So he's not only a Dearborn person, he's an international person. And he was selected to receive the Mayor's Award this year. So that's it. That's a lot.
That is a lot. But it's a lot. Yeah, a lot to brag about in our community, right? And a lot to celebrate, certainly. Oh, gosh.
Exactly.
Yeah, so glad you shared that. Let's remind our listeners, we're speaking with our dear friend, Emma Jean Woodyard, who is a dear friend of the arts in Dearborn. That's an understatement. She's the director of the Dearborn Community Fund, and we'll ask her to give a little bit of insight on the Dearborn Community Fund before we wrap up. For those that might not be familiar, hard to believe, but it's a possibility. But we're talking about so many different arts-related events kicking off with tomorrow's Arty Party, again, taking place Saturday, April 6th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. And then talking about some of the events going on through April Arts Month, the Dearborn Public Schools Show, the Mayor's Arts Award, which kind of is the finale, if you will, to all of these wonderful things. But really, this is an opportunity to celebrate and interact with all things arts here in this community, which so many people work very, very hard to showcase their talents and skills to inspire us. And what better way to say thank you to them than to appreciate their work and honor it in this way. Circling back, Emma Jean, just a moment, the Mayor's Arts Awards are open to the public. Can anybody come to those? Is it typically people that are connected to the award recipients? Again, especially taking place this year in the Arab American National Museum auditorium. Great idea, by the way, to move that around. I just think that's great. But who should attend that? What is appropriate as far as that event goes?
We encourage, excuse me, we encourage anybody who is interested to come and help celebrate. Again, you will notice that every event that we've talked about so far, including the Mayor's Arts Awards, is free and open to the public. And that can be a good thing in that it makes it possible, accessible for anybody. It could be a bad thing if we get overrun with too many people.
Right.
But that would be a good problem. To answer your question specifically about the Mayor's Arts Awards, yes, we would love the community to come and celebrate and, you know, acknowledge these people that bring the beauty, the culture, the warmth, the music, whatever it is that you think of under cultural arts to our greater community. And I have to say, too, you know, we couldn't do this without the support of sponsors, and I am going to mention them. Dearborn Federal Savings Bank, which is always there for programs like this in our community. They're just great about that. The KW Legacy, Michael Phillips Group, the real estate, KW Williams is a large real estate firm here in Dearborn, and they have been very supportive of the arts in the community. Ameriprise Financial, Mr. Jim Thorpe, and Malik Al Kebab, the wonderful restaurant over in West Dearborn. And we couldn't do these programs without the support of these great people, these great businesses. I mean, just put it that way. So, am I missing anything? Is there anything else I need to
go in the game? Why don't we, let's circle, full circle, back around to the start of April Arts Month with tomorrow's Artie Party again, Saturday, April 6th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Ford Community Performing Arts Center at the Center on Michigan Avenue. And it's 4 hours and open to anyone and everyone, free to the public. Will there be... like food, or should we bring a little bit of money maybe to buy some stuff? I know it says like arts and crafts and things, so I'm assuming for children, as well as a very festive environment, I'm sure. But literally for someone that has not ever been to an arty party, and I know, you know, they've been around, so what should we literally expect and be prepared to do?
Well, there will be artisan vendors here. And so, of course, you should come with a little change in your pocket in case you see something. We want to support them. There, as you mentioned, there will be a children's activity area. There will be, in addition to the Pajeski Gallery, a pop-up gallery that is being curated by the Arab American National Museum. Studio A. Studio A will host performers of the spoken word. There will be an original short movie done by a local filmmaker. Again, everything's free. There will be some musical performances in there as well. So you can wander through, you can sit, you can listen. In terms of the food, there will be a cooking demonstration. Believe it or not, by the Dearborn Public Library, they have I'm going to draw a blank on this. It's a cooking cart that they can take out on location and actually do some, you know, small food demos. It's part of their lab over there at the Centennial Library. They're bringing the cart over here to do demonstrations. And it's my understanding that we will have some representation from local restaurants that will have samples. The Michael Berry Culinary Program, which is part of the Dearborn Public Schools program, will be here with display and samples as well. So it's not a meal; it's a sample, but a fun sample. Let me put it that way. So music, visual arts, food. What else do you want?
What else do you need? I guess there. It sounds like just about everything. Emma Jean, this has been so informative, and thank you for your time. If somebody can squeeze in even an hour or two tomorrow to head down to the Ford Community Performing Arts Center, you will not be disappointed, I am sure. Let's just bring kudos to, of course, the Dearborn Community Fund. You mentioned so many wonderful sponsors for supporting these activities, but certainly it all has to come together somehow in some way and through some people. And we know it's a small but mighty team that works through the Dearborn Community Fund purview. Yeah,
it truly is. And again, I cannot thank my such a wonderful assistant, Sasha Porter, for all the hours and enthusiasm and ideas that she brings to the table. And she's such a hard worker. And our volunteers, we've got some, not a lot, as I mentioned earlier on, volunteers are still scarce. But those who have volunteered have really got involved and rolled up their sleeves and doing everything from collating to cutting to printing to folding to whatever it takes, you know, to get the word out. So, yes, yeah. It's a great team.
That's what good volunteers do, whatever it takes to get the word out. It sounds like you've got a nice group there. If somebody was interested in more information about any of these events, I suspect the Dearborn Community Fund website is the place to go, dearborncommunityfund.org. Also, if somebody wanted to make a contribution or even lend their support with their time, potential new volunteer, I suppose. Absolutely. You would welcome them.
Absolutely. All right. You know, I keep saying, y'all come.
There you go. DearbornCommunityFund.org is that website. Again, Emma Jean Woodyard, director of the Dearborn Community Fund, talking at first today about the start of April Arts Month with the free Artie Party tomorrow. It is going on at the Ford Center from 4 until 8 p.m. there on Michigan Avenue, and then so much more throughout this entire month. It is a celebration of the arts. I do want to throw in two plugs for, as Emma Jean actually already did, at Henry Ford College. The student show at the Sisson Art Gallery is up currently and will only be up for about another week, a little week or 9 days. And the Sisson Gallery has undergone a renovation that is just beyond what our expectations were. And we know support from people like you, Emma Jean Woodyard, and helping make that happen has been instrumental in getting us this beautiful product. And so this is a an exhibit of student work, the best of, as selected by instructors in the art area. It's a great exhibit. I was there at the opening and just absolutely loved it. And then the other thing, since we're talking arts, I do just want to mention the Detroit Wall Project is Henry Ford College Theater's original new production. And that will be running a week from today, kicking off Friday, April 12th. There's a 7:30 showing. And then Saturday, the 13th, there's a 2 p.m. and a 7:30 p.m. It's theater in the round. There are only like 70 seats in that, on the stage for this exceptional experience. So please, 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 hfcc.edu for more information about that event. But in general, to wrap up, DearbornCommunityFund.org is where you want to go for all of these wonderful things we've talked about. Emma Jean, happy spring, and we wish you a wonderful start to April Arts Month. Thank you for being there. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you for making time for us. We really appreciate it, Sue. And I hope to see you at one of the events.
Looking forward to it. Thank you. Always a pleasure. We've got more on the way. This is the WHFR Journal. Do stay with us.
Hi, folks. I'm Dennis Brown II of Plymouth, Michigan. April is Autism Awareness Month. Since 2009, I've recorded about 300 of these public service announcements about autism awareness, and I'm back at it again this year. I do this, however, on a personal level. In February of 2007, when I was 35, I was diagnosed with severe Asperger's syndrome, which is a mild and high-functioning form of autism. And I've had this since I was a kid. I focus on adults because they're being left out. 1 in 45 adults in the United States is diagnosed with autism. Autism speaks as information on how adults can find work that's right for them, housing, and even receiving a diagnosis. Log on to autismspeaks.org for more information.
Welcome to the WHFR Journal here on 89.3 FM, or maybe you're listening on the web at whfr.fm. So happy that you're here. Susan McGraw with you today, as always, and it is my pleasure to really, well, we're just going to go out of this world on our program today. There's a little tease, a little hint as to what's forthcoming. We know that these days when we say something that involves the word STEM, it no longer means like a seedling or a sapling or something. STEM in this day and age really does mean something very different. And that's, of course, related to the academics. And we are going to talk about STEM Day taking place here at Henry Ford College. And because we're bringing in the event coordinator of STEM Day, we're also going to have the pleasure of picking this person's brain about, that extraplanetary opportunity that experts are calling the one and only chance to ever see an eclipse in this lifetime. I'm not quite sure if that's true, but we're gonna find out from the expert himself, Professor Jesse Mason, joining us. He serves as physics and astronomy instructor here at Henry Ford College, director of the Hammond Planetarium, and for this specific event, the event coordinator of STEM Day. Jesse, you're not wearing any hat right now, but you clearly wear many hats, as we tease about. I think the last time we talked to you, it was for that Silver Creator Award that you received from YouTube itself. So welcome back to the airwaves. And you've always got so much going on. Where do you want to start? I'll let you jump in.
Thanks, Susan. It's great to be with you today. I think we should start with the solar eclipse, because that's happening soonest. That's happening on April 8th. It's not the only total solar eclipse that you can see in your lifetime, but it is, for many of us, the last total solar eclipse we can see in the Midwest in our lifetime. For those in the Dearborn area, you will only have to drive a few hours south into Ohio to get in the path of the total solar eclipse. And it is in that path that you're able to witness the total solar eclipse. To be clear, here in Dearborn, you will be able to witness a partial solar eclipse. And for many of the people that witness this, it's not going to look any different than a normal day. Maybe the light will look a tiny bit different, but without proper eclipse glasses, you really won't be able to see anything different up here in Dearborn. Now, if you travel south into the path of the total solar eclipse, you will witness one of the most awe-inspiring events that you can see with your own eyes. And that is when the moon gets in front of the sun all of the way. And when it does that, it blocks the light from the sun. And not only are you able to look up, and it is only in the path of the total solar eclipse that you can look up at the sun to see the outer atmosphere of the sun, known as the corona, peeking out from behind the moon, which is in the way. But you will also witness the surroundings go to what I would say dawn or dusk. It gets quite dark, it gets cool, and the crickets start chirping, the birds stop chirping. It's a quick change in nature's symphony. From one movement to another, and very rarely do you get to see such a stark change so quickly. I witnessed the 2017 total solar eclipse. I went down to I think southern Indiana. I was in to see that, and there are absolutely no words to describe how magnificent the event is. So I'd encourage anyone that can on Monday, April 8th, to travel south, find their way to the path of the total solar eclipse, and catch the event. It is, for many of us in the Midwest, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Well, I'm remembering back to that 2017 one as well, staying here in Detroit and feeling like, did I miss it? Did I miss it? I was there. I was outside. I had the glasses, and clearly just wasn't quite in the right place at the right time. And no matter what, again, that placement is so critically important. And I recognize that words can't describe it, but this is radio, Jesse, so we have to do our best to try to share some details. I looked into Cleveland area, because I know that's a great spot, probably the closest spot from where we are here in Metro Detroit. And I know that they have, well, let's just say, upped the price of their hotels
Oh,
within
yes.
a hundreds of miles radius, because we were going to go in Sunday, work, from the Zoom on Monday, and then try to experience this. That's how kind of important, I suppose, and how popular this one particularly seems to be. Why is that? And again, even though we can't quite describe it without actually experiencing it ourselves, why is this such a big deal for however many, they say 3 to 4 minutes potentially of this awe-inspiring visual? But why do people get so amped up?
Because they're so rare. They're so rare that witnessing one, you have a physiological, in my experience, you have a physiological reaction to seeing it. It's so rare that we didn't evolve to handle seeing the sun suddenly disappear and then, the light outside going to, almost nighttime. That experience, like I said, it's so hard to describe. Many are going to travel to see it. And when I say many, we're talking probably in the tens of millions of people are going to flock to that path. And of course, if they want to stay the night, they're going to get a hotel. So everything's going to be really expensive. The challenge is, if you have a hotel, you're crossing your fingers that it is not going to be cloudy where you are. It's not until a few days before that people really start getting to know where they're going to be for the eclipse, the people that are doing the real chasing of the eclipse.
That's a very good point. If Mother Nature isn't smiling on us with sunshine, then the clouds will basically cover
Yeah, if
the
it's
wonder.
cloudy, you're not going to have a good eclipse. You'll see the darkening, but you won't get to witness the full event. Partly cloudy might be okay, but even then, you really want to be almost no clouds in this somewhere where there's no clouds in the skies. In the lead up to the total solar eclipse and the afterwards, there's still a bunch of stuff that you can see and witness, and it's amazing. And for that, I would just say go to YouTube. There's plenty of videos. We have eclipse programs at the planetarium. If you'd like to come learn about the science of the eclipse, you can go to Henry Ford's website, hfcc.edu, and look at our events calendar to find those dates. So there's plenty of opportunities to learn about what you can see before and after that 3 or 4 minute window of absolute magnificence. I can't stress enough the urgency with which I would say you should be heading to the path of totality.
I am one of these weather phenomenon, atmospheric phenomenon chasers. I absolutely love this stuff. They are calling it the Great North American Eclipse. So people from, I understand, again, other countries will potentially be coming in, people that are very much into these experiences. Just like when there have been some in other countries, Americans, for example, have flocked to different locations. So it's this is, I suppose we can't tout this enough as being something pretty amazing. Preparing for it with the proper eyewear, I think, is something we want to talk about. Even and will it be something that we would need even here in Michigan, even
You
in Metro
definitely need
Detroit?
it in Michigan if you wanted to see any bit of the eclipse.
Okay.
And you definitely want it if you go to the path of totality, because the only time that you can look at the sun is during totality, during the total solar eclipse, which is only 3 or 4 minutes long. And like I said, there's plenty of stuff to see before and afterwards. And to see that stuff, to be looking at the sun, you need to have those special sun solar glasses. You can find those online. I encourage you to go to the ones that are, I don't want to say accredited, but approved by NASA. I believe Lundt has, Lundt has very good solar eclipse glasses. You probably can still get them easily, but in the days leading up to the eclipse, 2 day shipping on them, I would be very suspicious that you would be able to get them on time.
I will say I've been seeing them pop up on little stands at the big box home improvement stores for $3, $4. They're like the little, when you look at the Christmas lights, you see the little shoot. They have really cool like sun patterns on them. I was comparing them, I think, to
God, I
the
got it.
kinds that you buy at Christmas
Yeah, the
time.
solar eclipse glasses are going to look like there's a silver film that you can't see through when you put them on. So those are that's what the solar eclipse glasses look like. And when you wear those, you can look at the sun at any time, even well before the eclipse. You could look at the sun today with those on.
What is the time that this is set to take place
It's
in our area?
in the early afternoon, in the
Okay.
early afternoon.
Are you encouraging students to attend? Are you get I literally just read an article that some colleges are calling off in the area of the path so that students
I
can get out and
believe
do
that
that.
I would not be successful in convincing Henry Ford to close our shop on Monday, but I did get approval that my Monday astronomy class could have the day off of class, and that if they had no other class obligations, that they should be going to the path of totality.
It makes sense. This is what you teach,
It's
Jesse.
amazing. Yes, they
What an
have.
opportunity.
Absolutely.
And we appreciate the fact that there are options available to learn more about it and so on, as you indicate on YouTube and so on, and even our HFC website. In terms of once it's done, is there a do they get ranked or rated in terms of how amazing the eclipse ended up being? Or are there like the Great Flood of 27, is that kind of a thing ever when you look back historically in events like this?
I don't think so. I think you can rank the eclipse in terms of the length of the eclipse and perhaps how cloudy it was in your area. If it was cloudy, then it's a bust. But otherwise, I don't think there's a gradation of it, so total solar eclipses. I would say when you if you're striving to go to this total solar eclipse, if you're striving to go to the path of totality, try to be in the center of the path of totality, because that will have, for that area, the longest eclipse. You want to
Can you?
maximize your eclipse length. Now, if you
Yeah.
really want to maximize it, you need to drive all the way to Texas, because Texas will enjoy the longest part of the eclipse. Cleveland, I think, has somewhere on the order of 2.5 minutes.
And is this path readily available to say, okay,
Oh,
I need to
yes.
be in this town exactly, 10 miles this way, 15, 20 miles that way, kind of a thing.
Yeah, there's if you Google for path of totality, totality, you'll find a dozen different maps that show, even there are some, Mr. Fred Espenak, so-called Mr. Eclipse, has high-resolution maps of each region, so you can see exactly what towns to be in.
We're very excited, Jesse, and thank you for sharing your insight on that. And as our head of the Hammond Planetarium, we expect nothing less than your wisdom and knowledge, and you've shared just that. So thank you for that very, very much.
My pleasure.
Yes, and the next one, just to kind of, just in case this one gets missed, when will be the next opportunity?
I think it's in the 2040s, quite a bit away.
So that's a ways away.
We'll be waiting
away.
A while.
Yeah. Okay. Well, what a cool opportunity to be able to say, I saw it and where you were when you saw it exactly and all that kind of thing. What a story. That's fantastic. Jesse, you are a busy man. STEM is a busy series of subjects all smashed together in a beautiful, joyous way when it comes to education. And here at Henry Ford College, we treat it as such. We know that coming up, we are going to be having a STEM day. Tell us a little bit about what we can expect and who should attend.
Sure. The School of STEM at Henry Ford College decided that we wanted to hold some sort of family event, and we settled on STEM Family Day is the full name of the event. STEM Family Day will be on Saturday, April 13th, and it's going to go from 10 a.m. until 3 p.m. The event is going to feature activities from all of the disciplines in STEM. We'll have geology, chemistry, mathematics, physics, astronomy, of course, as well as biology. Children are our target audience, but because it's a family event, of course, we want the entire family to come. I'd say it's age appropriate for pretty much anybody, but I think it's heavily targeted towards the middle school and early high school students.
Okay, good. And for those that don't know, I've been teasing this a lot: science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. Those are the words that acronym represents. Those are subjects I remember 10, 15 years ago, we used to talk about trying to get more women in STEM and so on. I remember being a part of events here at the college to bring in more females to this. And I think a statistic that I read not that long ago is that we are kind of equal partners now. It's kind of like about the same. So it's not so much necessarily targeting, a minority area of bringing people in, but just for people in general, for young people in general that might have a knack and definitely that are excited and interested in STEM. What has your experience been as far as that goes? And would you say that's an accurate assessment, at least here in this region?
I think what we're trying to do is we're trying to light the fires of inspiration, the fires of passion for STEM. We're trying to reach out to people, especially young people, that have some kind of interest in this, and we're hoping to light the fires of interest for physics or for math, for chemistry. We're looking for those moments where people are, they have their hands dirty with the experiment or the activity. They're actually hands-on doing stuff, and they have that aha moment, like, oh man, this is exciting. I can do this. This connects with me in a way that I didn't know, I had a connection before. So we're looking to light the fires of inspiration in the community.
I'm sure that there will be opportunities for, as you said, getting your hands dirty, but also really getting to see all the facilities that we offer here at Henry Ford College, I hope, because that's always a selling point.
We will be in the entire event is going to take place in J building, in the science building, and on various levels. We'll be basically taking over the building. Apologies to students that have classes on Saturday in the J building. We will be taking over the building. And the only time we will be leaving J Building is for lunch at noon. And we will be having lunch in the cafeteria. I think it's H Building. And the lunch is going to be on us. We are having Baba's Grill cater for us. And folks that join us will be entreated to a lunch on us.
Nice. Do we have to register for this to make sure that you've got enough of everything?
Yes, we are going to have a limited capacity. We're just going to have over 200 spots for this. So people that are interested in doing this, they will need to reserve their spots. And to do so, they can find us on the Henry Ford website, hfcc.edu, and they can register through that site.
Okay, so this event takes place again Saturday, April 13th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. right here on the campus of Henry Ford College in the Science Building. How cool is that? We are, of course, on Evergreen Road here in Dearborn, and you don't have to necessarily be a Dearborn resident, correct, to participate in this.
Correct.
We will fill up 200 very quickly, I'm sure. So,
I am anticipating we will, yes.
yeah, so I say jump in as quickly as you can, and let's see about making sure that we have a space for you, a spot for you. And so young people can come with parents, families, I'm sure, would be welcome. And what a nice opportunity to connect and maybe even meet some of the faculty as well, including, I know you'll be there, Jesse. So
I'll
always,
be running the planetarium that day.
oh, that's wonderful. Always a reason to come and just to meet and talk with this very interesting person. So, and he will share his stories about the eclipse, I hope, at STEM Day. That would be very cool. We're looking to bring in students for opportunities to learn about Henry Ford, and noting that we have opportunities like the early college and dual enrollment and the Collegiate Academy. So it's not like you just have to be college age to be able to get ready or even take steps further into connecting with HFC. So there's always a benefit to there. And especially if you're interested in learning and getting some of the resources and maybe even kicking off your college journey even before you've graduated, we've got ways to do that, which I think is pretty neat and pretty rare these days. So one of those ways is coming out for STEM Day, Saturday, April 13th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. It is a free event, open to the public as long as you register in advance. And Bob's catering is
Yeah, it's
worth coming
extraordinary.
for right there. Yeah, good stuff. Well, Jesse, thank you as always for your time. Can you just mention briefly the planetarium itself available for people that might want to just come out and see a show
Absolutely.
sometime?
Absolutely. We do shows a couple times a month. Wednesday nights are our typical nights, but we also have a few shows on Saturday afternoons. The shows are either about the seasons, constellations, and planets, or they are about the upcoming total solar eclipse.
You know, something just popped into my head. If you don't mind, I'd like to circle back for a minute. Related to this particular eclipse, again, another reason to try to experience this. I heard that we were maybe going to be able to see some extra thing possibly, but I thought that if the eclipse takes place just before it or just after it, that there's some phenomenon that might be like a bonus. And maybe I dreamed that, but I swear I heard something like
There's a
that.
lot of amazing phenomenon surrounding total solar eclipses. There's unusual shadows, weird color contrast light. There is snake-like patterns that run across the ground right just before the eclipse. There's a bunch of weird stuff that takes place. As to comets, maybe that's a new one that came out in the last couple of days. If it did, maybe you'd be able to see a comet. I sort of doubt it unless the comet was really bright, because when I saw the eclipse in 2017, I was able to see the brightest stars in the sky. So the stars came out during the eclipse, but only the brightest ones. And comets tend to be pretty dim unless it's a great comet. So unless we're having a great comet, I doubt you'd see a comet during the eclipse. But you will see, if you get to in the path of totality, you will still see the stars come out, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, talk about sparking an interest in this field for young
Yeah,
people.
I wish Dearborn was in the path of totality.
Man,
That
you
would
can't do
really be
something about that. You
cool.
can't call in the favor to NASA or
I
I don't
wish
know.
I could.
Speaking of NASA, I know here at the college we have, is it, are they called NASA Eclipse Ambassadors? I remember reading that and I thought
We
that sounds
do.
very pro. Tell us about that.
We do. And the two, I actually have them here. You know what? I should pull one in. Let me pull one in. She's not ready. She's actually researching black holes right now, but
Oh my gosh. Of
let me
course
get
she
her.
is.
Let me
All
get
right. I'm guessing it's Courtney Reinhart that he's talking about, because I know that there were two. I just looked it up, Anthony Preston and Courtney Reinhart, as astronomy students, but also NASA Eclipse Ambassadors. And well, this is very cool. We got a little scoop here. Courtney, welcome, and tell us a little bit about what it means to be a NASA Eclipse Ambassador. That's just the coolest title ever. I hope you at least have a shirt or something that says that, right?
Yeah, we're
Very
getting
cool.
badges soon.
Yay.
So it just kind of is like we're partnerships with NASA. We're not actually working for NASA, but it's just kind of like we're helping teach public engagement and getting more people involved in astronomy and star parties and stuff like that, and reaching out to teach people about the upcoming eclipse.
In terms of the opportunity to share information with people, do you? Dare I say, can we like rent you out to schools and things? Is that possible? Is that a part of what you do, or is it pretty much only here at Henry Ford College that you're getting that word out?
Well, we have events upcoming. We have one Friday, April 5th, 1 to 3 at the Trenton Library, and then the Southgate Library, April 6th, from 12 to 2.
So you'll be there along with your comrade, and that's, is it Anthony Preston? Am I getting that
Yeah.
right? Yes, excellent. Well, how awesome is that? So, Courtney, you're doing this, I suspect, because you love this kind of stuff. What does this mean to you, this eclipse, and where are you going to be when it happens?
So we're planning, me and Anthony are planning on going down to Ohio where the totality will be 100%, so we can see it as fully as we can, since the last solar eclipse we didn't get to see completely. And then we're just going to be helping other people out for this. We're just really excited to be able to see it. And since it's the first time in a while, I guess, that it's ever been at this high rate of totality over Michigan.
Do you want to do this professionally, Courtney? Is this something that you'd like to have a career in? I'm guessing
Yeah,
yes.
I plan to be an astrophysicist.
An astrophysicist. Woo!
Yeah,
I'm
but
loving
both
it.
Courtney and Anthony are research students of mine. They're both currently studying black holes and both want to be astrophysicists.
Thank you for being here. Thanks for letting letting your
Thank
professor pull you, literally pull
you.
you in.
Yeah,
I think I saw
come
you roll in on the chair. That's amazing.
on
So,
in.
thank you for that. We wish you and we wish everybody success in exploring and experiencing this amazing opportunity, this amazing eclipse on April 8th, and also STEM Day. It will be amazing as well.
They
And
will be
that's
unforgettable.
yes, unforgettable. I love that. Saturday, April the 13th, right here at Henry Ford. And if you'd like more details on any of this stuff, check out the website, hfcc.edu. Professor Jesse Mason, thank you as always.
It was my pleasure, Susan.
All the best. We've got more on the way. This is WHFR.FM. Please do stay with us.
I'm Amina Al-Sadi. I'm a 25-year-old Muslim American girl living in Seattle.
You don't live in Seattle, you live in Mukilteo.
Technicality.
My name is Ali Al-Sadi, and I am Amina's younger brother.
Hi, I'm Alia Al-Sadi. I'm Amina's second youngest sister.
Hi, I'm Batul Al-Sadi. I'm Ami's baby sister, youngest, the last, the maybe the best, possibly.
I'm Melanie Al-Sadi. I'm Amina's mom. I live in Mukilteo with them too.
This is Amina. There's a lot of celebrating that happens during Ramadan. The big celebration really comes at the end of the month on the day of Eid. It's the first day of the new month, which means Ramadan has ended. You get out your finest clothing, you buy gifts for friends and family, and then everybody goes in the morning to an Eid prayer.
I'm Alia. So the night before Eid, when it's confirmed tomorrow is Eid, you see all your Muslim friends on social media posting like Eid Mubarak, which is the traditional saying. It means like happy Eid or blessed Eid. So seeing all that, and then you get really excited, and then you wake up and you have your presents and you eat your breakfast and you go to the mosque and your breath smells good, and then you pray.
Everybody is just feeling so refreshed and so full of energy. It's just a really beautiful, festive, fun time.
And then after the prayer, what I really love is when we all begin to wish one another Eid Mubarak. There's something really special about that moment where you all, like, you say Eid Mubarak, but there's almost so much there that you're saying to one another, but it's just like congratulations. But you're not saying it, you're just saying Eid Mubarak, but it's this really like packed full phrase almost.
I'm Amina's mom. It's been fun going to the mall just a few days before Eid. You see this influx of Muslims, and everybody's making the eye contact with each other. There's just a connection. We're almost there. And I know you're at the mall, too, for your last-minute Eid shopping.
The feeling that you have as Ramadan is ending is really mixed. On one hand, you're really excited to just get back to normal life, but there's also this sadness that it's over because there is so much joy and sense of community and opportunity for spiritual growth during Ramadan that you really miss all of that.
Last year was my first experience where I think it was in Macy's, and one of the sales assistants said to me, Eid Mubarak. And she wasn't Muslim. It was just such a heartening feeling. I felt so excited. It was wonderful. As people are becoming more and more aware that this is the time of Ramadan and this is our celebration, it's nice to have that affirmation.
I'm Batul. Usually at the end of Ramadan on Eid, after the celebration's over and you're just kind of lying there in bed and you're like, okay, I don't need to fast tomorrow, you start thinking about the month and what happened and you start reflecting on what has changed about yourself.
This is Ali. I usually end up missing it by the end of Ramadan. By the end of Ramadan, I really end up missing the entire experience just because it's not really something you can mimic throughout the year.
I do change, but I don't really know what changes until the end, which I kind of like, something sort of look forward to, because it's inevitable. You are going to change your spirituality in some way throughout the month, so I usually just kind of let it happen.
This is Amina. Around Christmas, everybody is really stressed out because there's so much work that's being put into it and parties that you have to attend. But it's still a really joyous, festive time. And so when it's over, people both miss it and also are relieved that it's over. That's how I feel about Ramadan.
I'm Amina's mom. It was really important for me for them to have a sense that this is their holiday, this is their time. When they were younger, I would try to go all out because I knew they were kind of in competition with their non-Muslim friends with Christmas. For our kids growing up in the West, they don't have a mythological character to make Eid exciting.
This is Amina. And the problem with the quote-unquote Eid squirrel is it was completely made up by two people, and we were all in our teens.
Anyway, we just wanted to create a lot of excitement around that mystery of getting gifts in the morning, and that one of their gifts would be given by the Eid squirrel.
I think at the heart of it, what it is so much of our traditions were established in the Middle East or Southeast Asia, but in America, so much of it is adopted from the Middle East. And I just think that as the years go on and the Muslim population grows in America, we're second, third, fourth generation Muslim American. We want to find our own traditions that are uniquely American.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma inni أفتتح الثناء بحمدك وأنت مسدد للصواب بمنك وأيقنت أنك أنت أرحم الراحمين في موضع العفو والرحمة وأشد المعاقبين في موضع النكال والنقمة وأعظم المتجبرين.
Did you know that more than 90% of poisonings happen at home?
Huh?
Look closely and you will find poison risks hidden in plain sight inside every house.
Hmm.
But there are actions you can take to poison-proof your home, like keeping household cleaners locked up high and away from children, properly labeling and securing medicines and supplements, and installing carbon monoxide detectors near bedrooms and furnaces. Visit poisonhelp.hrsa.gov to learn more, or call your local poison center at 1-800-222-1222, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Chase, the White Rabbit's Hot Wax Radio, to his new time on Sunday nights, 7 to 9 p.m. Woohoo! Yeah.
You're listening to 89.3 WHFR. Highway 61 is coming up in just a moment at the top of the hour. From the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists.